Hey, Michigan, let's talk golf. Here's Mike Sullivan, the most inconsistent golfer ever.
In your life, have you seen anything like that?
And Kyle Bogey, wait, how can a guy with that name host a golf show? We'll never know.
Better than most.
It's the Metro Detroit Golfers Podcast.
Powered by our presenting partner, Hall Financial. Yeah!
Episode 2 of the Metro Detroit Golfers Podcast. Kyle Bogey, Mike Sullivan. Very excited to be here at our home course, our home club, actually. Red Run Golf Club. Just a fantastic track, and they're going to be doing a renovation, actually, coming up next year. So excited to see how exactly everything is going to look at that point. But Mike, I got to start with this, okay? Because we're coming off Labor Day weekend, and I know you spent, you know, quite a bit of time on the golf course. I actually played, I think, four times, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But did you have a chance to watch any of the Tour Championship over the weekend?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I watched some of it and what DJ was able to do.
Okay,
crazy.
So let me ask you this. And obviously, Dustin Johnson deserved to win the Tour Championship. I think he's the player of the year. We can have that conversation at a later date. But something that we can have some fun with, okay?
Yeah.
It's, what is it, the long par 3, 16th, I believe, at East Lake, is it? 233, okay? And you're basically hitting the ball over an ocean. Okay, maybe not an ocean, but it's just massive body of water.
Yep.
You have a green, and you maybe have a little bunker, you know, on the left side of it, okay? About 205 to carry, you know, maybe 210, depending on if the wind's into you. You never know how it's going to play with the water. If you had 50 shots, how many times are you hitting that green from that distance?
So it's 233 to the center, right? Or to the pin?
The pin was more in the back, yeah. So 233 to the pin in the back.
So I'm assuming you said 205 to carry, 210 to carry. The front of the green, though, is probably, what, 215? 220.
Yeah, to feel good about that, if the pin's up there, yeah, I would say that.
So that basically tells me if I hit my four iron well, 205, 210. So basically, I would be able to carry it if I hit my four iron well.
Yeah,
there's
we'd be able to get it there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I honestly would probably just use my 3-wood and just hit it, because there's the risk, though, if I pound my 3-wood, I could take it 250 plus, right? But generally, if the pin's in the middle or back middle at 233, that tells me that, okay, if I were to take my 3-wood, I know that I probably have another 10 yards past that. So I would have to hit my 3-wood over 243, basically, to be screwed. Now, I just have to get it there. But out of 50 times, if I had 50 shots to hit the green, I would probably say I'd hit it maybe 22 times.
I was thinking maybe even a little bit more. I mean, it's a challenging shot. And I think the most challenging part of it is
a little less than half, I would say.
Yeah, but Dustin Johnson and all these guys, you have to think about that shot for 15 holes leading up to number 16. Okay, so in a tournament setting, you can't hit the water. Like, you cannot. You only have a couple of strokes to play with there, especially if you're DJ trying to hold on to that lead. That's a pressure shot. I mean,
now, what club would you use, though?
I mean, the problem for me is,
I'd use my 7-iron.
I mean, I could easily rip a 5-iron, I think, you know, with a nasty hook draw, like a low 5-iron. I think I could get it there.
From
I would
233,
have to,
you could not.
No, carry to like 204.
Okay.
I think I could do that. It'd be manageable. I'd probably go hybrid, though. I do. I don't have a 4-iron. So I have a 4 hybrid, which stinks because I'm not nearly as accurate with that.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd probably be a 4 hybrid all day. But like, for us, if we have 50 shots at it or something like that, I mean, you're going to repeat the same swing. Once you find the number and what it takes to just get it there, you're going to hit the same
50
shot.
50 consecutive
same shot.
Shots.
Yeah,
saying.
Plus we have nothing to lose. If you hit the water, who cares? You know, right. No one's expecting us to hit it 40 out of 50
Which
times.
That would happen. It would,
yeah.
The ball would definitely go into the water a good amount of times.
We'd make donations, yes.
Yeah. There's so many holes like that on tour, though. Even when we were talking to Steve Brady last week at Oakland Hills, how Oakland Hills is going to have a par 3 that plays 275 yards.
Driver.
I would literally take out my driver, and unless you were downhill with the wind and you could pound a 3 or something, I would take out my driver on a par 3, which is just crazy to think about. It's wild.
I couldn't even fathom playing from that distance,
yeah.
7,700 yards. How some of these courses are laid out in the distance.
But that's
they plan,
on tour, a lot of these, and we're going to, speaking of the PGA Tour, we're going to talk to Donnie Trosper later in this episode, who's a local kid from Canton. He's made 2 starts on the PGA Tour this year, the Rocket Mortgage Classic and the Workday Charity, which was at Memorial.
Mearfield Village,
whatever it was. My point is, on tour, 7,700 yards or 7,500 or 7,300, it's really not a big deal to them. because it's a difference between what on some holes they're going to hit a 6-iron instead of an 8-iron. They're still going to be basically just as good with a 6-iron as they would be with an 8-iron. And you know off the tee, everyone's good. So that's where a lot of these pros, where they've even talked about it, that the distance on the course really doesn't matter. It's more how the course is set up than, oh my God, that hole is so long.
How fast are the greens rolling? You know, how thick is the rough? That's what they're worried about. They're not worried
pin
about
placement.
Distance.
Pin placement.
100%.
Yeah. Am I gonna fade this ball into the pin, or am I going to draw it in? Am I going to punch it? Whatever they want to do.
Meanwhile, we're just hoping that the ball does what we want it to do off the court.
We're hoping that the ball just stays on the green when you hit it up there. You know?
Exciting episode. Obviously, we got a lot that we want to touch on. And as Sully alluded to there, Donnie Trosper joining us for an interview. And really excited to just have a chance to talk with him. He's got a lot to share. And speaking of a guy who can just shape the ball and do whatever the heck he wants, Donnie Trosper. We were able to spend a few minutes with him out on the range. We're going to play with him again soon. Just an unbelievable player. So certainly a lot to look forward to with that.
And speaking of Donnie Trosper, what was cool too is that he actually knows D. Hall, and he's played with him a few times.
Mr. Hall,
as he calls him, which perfectly transitions into Hall Financial, guys. Now, look, just go to the website, hallmdg.com. They created a specific website for Metro Detroit golfers. At least go check out the page. At least go see what they're talking to golfers about. That's hallmdg.com. And, Kyle, we've obviously had a great experience with Hall Financial over the years.
Just an unbelievable partnership and a relationship, really, you know, that we've been able to develop, you know, with D. Hall and Mark. And you know their entire team over at Hall Financial. So looking forward to continuing that as our presenting partner, not sponsor, presenting partner, because that's really how we view
it.
It is
a partnership.
Yeah. And speaking of golf, we got to get on the course and play with him soon.
I know. No, and that's what you're right though about that too, because he's a great player. But that the partnership aspect of it is why they wanted to get involved with this, because they believe in golf, they believe in local golf. And they love golf over there. So at the very least, if you're thinking about refinancing, thinking about purchasing a home, just go to the website, the special one they created just for Metro Detroit golfers, hallmdg.com. Now, all right, though, Kyle, I got something for you real quick before we get to Donnie Trosper, because this is a topic that I think a lot of people in MDG can relate to. I don't know how the hell you've done it, but you have your beautiful daughter Blake, right? And and of course your
don't know how I made a baby. Well, so
no,
let me explain it to you, okay?
I think I got that down. Yeah,
A man and a woman. Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
And of course your beautiful girlfriend Audrey, and you guys have done a great job with Blake. But I can't believe how much golf you still play. And of course, it's easier said than done, because a lot of guys where, you know, we heard this even before, we always hear this when someone's about to have a kid, oh, you're never going to see your buddy again. He's going to be gone forever. and it blows my mind. Now, of course, with what we've been doing, we've had to play golf. You know, we do have to play golf a lot. But you still have played so much golf since having a newborn baby. How have you done it? And have you noticed a difference in your golf game, or have you gotten better? Have you gotten worse? Do you still think you're playing as much? Because it's remarkable how much you're still getting out on the course. And God bless Audrey, because she does not really get on you for it.
You know what the sad part is? Oh, she gets on me. Okay, I mean, maybe away from the podcast, we can have a conversation over a couple of cocktails about that. But no, she's been incredibly understanding, and you know, that's allowed me and us to build, you know, obviously our business, this podcast, you know, and grow the Metro Detroit golfers community. That's been absolutely huge. So first and foremost, that's the biggest thing that she is at least understanding when it comes to, hey, you know, we are out, you know, golfing with clients. We do have some days where we need to play with, you know, some local golfers.
Our clients say, hey, you know, can we sit down and just have a meeting in your office? No, guys, actually, let's just go golf and talk out.
Let's play. Let's make that meeting 4 hours, okay?
Right.
And let's also add in the halfway shack. Let's have some food afterward, right. And let's add in a cocktail as well. But a lot of work does get done in doing that. And, you know, part of the job is obviously going to be going out to all these different courses, playing in various outings, which,
I got to
play.
And honestly, next year, we are going to have a huge MDG outing that people keep asking about. And by the way, if you want, guys, we get a ton of questions. One thing we've been doing to really update the people is the text message list. You know, 3 or 4 texts a month. So all you do, text MDG to 545454. And like I said, it seems like whenever I look at my scorecard, I'll see hole 1, 5. Hole, it's perfect. It's 545454. So remember it that way. Text MDG to 545454. 5-4. Now, do you think your game's gotten better or worse since?
See, I think that's the sad part. Is I'm about the same player.
Yeah,
maybe a little
You've
bit
been
more
playing
consistent.
Well this year.
I've had good moments and bad. You know, that's everyone. Yep. You know, some days you feel great. I will say this: when I have nights where the baby has, you know, kept me up or something like that, or I'm up three times and I don't get the proper rest for my back because I'm older now. I'm telling you. It sucks. It does. And that's when I know I got to go see Jeff and Kevin
there
over at Tri-Covery.
Yeah, right.
Because to get my body just loosened up, it doesn't – my body does not wake up like it used to.
And
it
Donnie Trosper, who we're having on, is a huge Tri-Covery guy too.
100%. And that – if you don't have your body with you, forget about your swing, forget about ball striking, forget about course management. If your body is not willing to participate and cooperate with you, then you're done. You're not going to fire a good score.
Yeah. And guys, honestly, please, you know, make sure that you guys do – check them out at the very least, tricovery.com, tri-covery.com. And what they did is they have a specific, they actually went to like Arizona for training, and they've been really getting into golf more. They have a specific package for the average amateur golfer. So go to their website, tricovery.com, and you'll be able to find the golf package, the specific stretching and massage flexibility training they have for golfers that really helps focus on the body areas of your of where a golfer would need help like that.
And in all seriousness, I have major shoulder blade, shoulder issues, rotator cuff issues going on because I swing way too hard. And Kevin has done, you know, some incredible treatment on me. Just being able to get me to the winter. I just want to make it through golf season without having to, you know, turn down golf. And Kevin has allowed that to happen because he has just, well, he's beating the crap out of my shoulder in a good way. He's been able to stretch everything, increase blood flow, increase that recovery. That's why it's called Tri-Covery. Again, check them out. They have a location in Novi and also in Royal Oak, doing an unbelievable job for local golfers, including myself. Well, this is going to be really exciting. Donnie Trosper joining us at Red Run Golf Club for a little sit down here and a conversation about really the year, whirlwind year that it has been for him, because he has competed in a couple of different PGA Tour events. Unfortunately, didn't make the cut, but is really focused on continuing to play this fall, continuing to get those Monday qualifiers, and hopefully, this next year for him as he commits, and continues to work. Hopefully it just gets better and better, and a great conversation with him. But Sully, let me ask you this, okay? If you were to, get into a tournament setting, and I'm not talking about the Invitational at Meadowbrook, okay? Nobody wants to hear.
Did I tell you about my 79 that I...
Yeah, I had to putt everything out, and I played really well in a tournament setting. If we showed up, okay, you and I, to a Monday qualifier, who knows what, Inverness and Toledo, they could have one here, Orchards, yep, whatever it may be. What do you think realistically you would be able to shoot from, say, they play still 7,300 yards, it's tournament conditions, it's pristine, and in a tournament setting, everything matters, no scope, we wouldn't be able to shoot the flag or anything, you'd have to pick yardages. What do you think you could shoot?
Yes, and you obviously, the course is going to be in really good condition too.
Oh,
the greens are going to be a 12 and a half or whatever. And, the rough's going to be growing out, all that. So I would say that, my index right now is a 7. So if I'm generally
a hard 7, I like the way you said that.
If I'm generally a low, trapped between that 80 and 85 type number that I seem to be all summer. So if I were to go out and shoot 83, 84, let's say, I would at least have to add like 10 strokes for something like that. I think I would probably be a 94 or something like that, where you're going to just, it's going to be so much tougher. It's going to be putting everything out. No breakfast balls, no gimmies. And
love breakfast balls.
Yeah, they're the best. But I would say it would have to be right around that mid-90s range. I'm not going to sit here. I know some people will say, oh, come on, it would beat you. I'm not going to sit here and say I'd go out and shoot a 105 or a 110. Now, if it was a PGA Tour, U.S. winged foot type thing, maybe. But I'm not going to say that I would go out and shoot a 110. I probably would be in the mid-90s, which isn't good, but super tough.
If you had your best, though. But do you think a 95 is your best? 73,
no.
7,400? Okay, so there's obviously a
high
difference.
80s.
Yeah, so for golfers like us, it comes and goes. It comes and goes every nine. I mean, that's really, you know, the Bob Menery Open that we have here on the podcast.
Right.
You know, the most inconsistent golfer.
Yeah.
But that is literally golf. I'll go out there and fire a 50 burger, and then I'll have a 39 in the back, 89, boom. It looks very different, but it is what it is.
And I'm actually excited to talk to Donnie about potentially, you know, myself maybe going to a Monday qualifier for the PGA Tour just to see how I would do, all right? That'd be good content.
We would have to talk to that course and make sure we could film the entire thing.
I know. Yeah.
I would want to see it all. Every single shot, every piece of frustration. Because you get frustrated on the course, just like we all do.
I've gotten better with that, though, I will say. But no, Kyle, really pumped up to have Donnie on. Great, great kid. And super just... it's really cool to see him pursue his dreams and be able to play on tour twice this year. So I think it'll be a lot of fun talking to him and just picking his brain on not only his future about what he's going to be doing in terms of making a run at the tour, but also his past, growing up here locally, growing up in Metro Detroit, and being able to chat about that too.
Yeah, and look, continue to support this young man, MDG community. We want to get behind him. We want to continue to support him and follow his progress because I think next year, you know what, he played in two events this year, and there was only, what, 36 PGA Tour events, not 46 like there normally is. Next year is going to be a big year. Hopefully he can, you know, make a cut or two and really get things going. But it'll be fun to watch his progress. Here he is, Donnie Strasburg on the Metro Detroit Golfers Podcast. Well, like we said, really excited to have you know, our friend, a local golfer, and somebody that we're certainly going to be supporting here moving forward, Donnie Trosper, on the podcast. By the way, this interview brought to you by our presenting sponsor, Hall Financial, D. Hall and his team over there. And Donnie, excited to have you out. I definitely would like to play with you again. I know I had a chance to play with you at Detroit Golf Club not too long ago, right before the Rocket Mortgage Classic. But how have things been for you? It's probably been a whirlwind the last couple of months.
Yeah, I mean, this summer has just been kind of a roller coaster. It's just ups and downs, and excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, and thank you as well for wearing the MDG shirt right now, the polo. You can go to MetroDetroitGolfers.com. So we got a PGA Tour player right now, essentially repping MDG. I love that. And thank you for wearing that, man. That's awesome. And thank you for supporting, because that is cool to you know, the fact that when we launched Metro Detroit Golfers, to right away we had, within weeks, someone who was a part of the community playing on tour at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, which you qualified for, which is just awesome. I guess I would love to start with that, too, to just chat with you about what it was like teeing it up in your hometown, making your PGA Tour debut. Walk us through how you qualified and just how awesome that must have been, man.
Yeah, you know, last year, I tried to Monday qualify into the Rocket Mortgage, and I had this, just vision of, you know, just being the hometown kid, making the tournament, and just kind of just having that moment of like, wow, I made it. And a year later, it actually happened, and sad that there was no fans, but it was definitely something special that I won't forget.
That's so cool. You know, and you're obviously from Canton. You played college golf at UCF and at MSU. You're teeing it up. First round of your professional PGA Tour debut. You're playing with Cameron Champ, which is sweet. You know, that guy's been killing it and kills the ball. Are you nervous teeing it up? Are you nervous that you're going to just miss the ball? Or are you just ready to go?
I'm nervous a lot. So actually, I wasn't nervous for once because I'm in my natural head. I'm out on the golf course. But definitely, I was nervous for sure. But it was more of like a good nervousness.
And you said you're more nervous right now, right? Doing this interview beforehand.
It's
crazy. Yeah. Come on.
No. It's about the similar. It's similar because I don't know. I feel like I'm ready to compete and stuff. So your anxiety.
Adrenaline instincts take over. Yeah.
I mean, I was ready to go, to be honest. I didn't care that I was playing with Champ, but it was a little mix up the night before that I was supposed to be playing in a threesome.
Right.
And they moved it and they're like, you're going to be playing in a twosome now. And I was like, oh, and they didn't tell me who I was playing with until the morning I realized, and it was Champ. And I was like, oh, I'm playing with Champ.
Well,
so that kind of threw me off a little bit, but.
And that was because Champ had tested positive for COVID, right? And
then
he had, it was like a last minute add to the field. So they threw him with you and your group. That's, you know, was it cool playing with him? Obviously a guy like that that's had so much success.
It was actually a really good experience to see how he handled it. And I know he's like three or four years older than me, but you could just tell he models a good, he's a great example for like kids. He's a great example for just the community of golf, and I definitely learned quite a bit about it.
It was eye-opening for me. I went to the first Rocket Mortgage Classic, obviously, and walked around, took my dad. It was like a Father's Day type of gift for him. And it's wild to be on the course, and you're looking around, and, oh, there's Ricky Fowler. There's Hideki Matsuyama. Yeah. All of these guys, you know, that you watch on TV, and you watch them just bomb the ball, and you're looking around. How do you lock in during a tournament like that when you might be putting on six and over teeing right. up on seven, you know, is Patrick Reed?
Well, you know, so years back, three, four years ago, I played in sectionals. I played in it, U.S. Open sectionals twice. So I can kind of get a glimpse of, like, I saw VJ and I was up close. So I was used to seeing, like, a lot of those guys, like superstars and former superstars and stuff. And they're really just the same. They're just really good. That's the only thing. So it was definitely seeing Ricky and DeChambeau. And DeChambeau, like, looked me dead in the eyes. Like, I look at, like, and I'm just thinking, like, these are my, like, a lot of these guys, like Ricky, they're all, like, my idols, kind of. And what I learned from that experience is I shouldn't go into that thinking I'm playing with my idols, because it makes you weaker, and it also, like, makes you kind of on cloud nine to where you're not really focusing on your game. But yeah, stepping on there, and I was warming up next to Ricky. It was pretty cool. I was like, man, I'm on the PGA Tour. I visioned and saw, and it's pretty cool.
Did you get a chance to talk to a lot of those guys? Because you qualified for the Rocket Mortgage, and then the very next week at Muirfield was the Workday Charity, mm-hmm. right? Workday Charity Open. So you played on tour 2 weeks in a row. Did you get a chance to talk to guys like Ricky, guys like Bryson, guys like Patrick Reed? And if so, what was that? You know, walk us through some of the interaction that you had as your young kid making his debut. And are these guys helping you? Are they talking to you? Are they ignoring you? What is it like?
Yeah, I think that everybody's kind of to themselves out there, like with their teams and kind of like. But I did talk to a few of the guys, like Jim Furyk. I ate lunch with him, Stuart Sink, Jim Herman. And yeah, Ricky was obviously over there. Next to the and Ricky and Justin Thomas was on the table next to us. And I was asking Jim Furyk about how he, like, prepared, and like, and Stuart Sink. And it's just cool to see all the characters, because Stuart Sink, he's kind of more of a character guy. He was like, oh yeah, he's like, I just did what I, like, he was. And then Jim Furyk was like, oh yeah, he's like, I just worked on what I needed to. And Jim Herman was talking about how he had his opportunity. It's just golf. It's just they worked hard to get there. And Patrick Reed, talked to him.
Didn't you say you played with Reed too?
Yeah, I played nine-hole practice round with Reed.
How was that? Was he helpful? Were you picking his brain or what?
Yeah, a little bit. So on the first tee, me and my caddy were Brian. We were walking up to the first tee at Muirfield, and Jordan Spieth, his caddy, walked up and put his bag there, and I was like, oh, we might play with Spieth and like JT and Reed, and I was getting excited and nervous, and then they're like, oh, you can just go ahead. And so, like, in a single. And I was like, oh, man. I was like, I wanted to play with him. And then Reed was like, he's like, no, I'll play with the kid. He's like, I'll play. So he was kind of cool like that. And I didn't expect that. And we played, and he gave me some tips. And, he was telling me how his story about how he Monday qualified in, and that's how he got onto the PGA Tour. I thought he was kind of the media.
His reputation, yeah.
Yeah, but it's definitely tough when you're in that situation. You get all the emotions going.
And honestly, I want to just say that real quick, too, because that is cool where he does have such a bad reputation. But the fact that it was supposed to be Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed playing together, and Patrick Reed said, no, I don't want him. I'll play with him. I'd like to help the kid out. That is cool, because he easily could have just said, no, I'm playing with Jordan and with JT, mm-hmm. and let
I'm
you just
above
play.
That. Yeah,
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 but the fact that Patrick Reed did that is really cool.
Yeah, so
I think Reed plays into it. I do. You know, some of the stuff on the camera, 100%. Yeah.
It was definitely a focus. And believe it or not, I mean, I was playing, like, that's the thing. So in the practice round, I was just striping every shot down the middle, hitting every green, making one putts. And Reed was kind of like left, right, like all over the place, just working. And I was like, man, I'm competing with like top 10 in the world right now, like just easily. Like, and we're in a practice round, and I'm just casually going through it. But then
that's
the thing, though, when you get into the tournament, it's all a learning experience. Next time I'm not going to be so like
just starstruck.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's golf, though, where you could, you know, you're obviously an incredible player. You've played on tour twice this year, and you know, really excited to continue to watch your journey. But you're such a high-end player where you could right now, here at Red Run, let's say, you and Dustin Johnson could go out and play nine holes, and you could very realistically each be, you know, 2-3 under through nine, right? But the difference is, what's so tough about the tour is being able to sustain that for four rounds, week in and week out, and just be that consistent on tour when the difference between, as crazy as it sounds, the true difference between a guy like you and a guy like Dustin Johnson is what? It's going to come down to putting, or it's going to come down to maybe a stroke here or there on the course. It's so razor thin, and that's what makes it so tough to get on tour.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing is having the passion and determination for what you're playing for, too. Like, I'll get into an event where it's not so much of beating, just beating everybody, like, down to the thing. Like, if it's not an event that I'm inspired to play, like, if it's like the Michigan Open, I was very inspired to play.
Sure.
That's cool to have on your resume. I really tried to grind. I was not playing my best, but I tried to just grind it out. And hopefully one day I can, or maybe next year, if you don't know what's going to happen in the game. Like, I could be on tour next year, or I could be playing the Michigan Open again. But I really need to get that determination to figure out, like, of being passionate about the tournament I'm playing at and stuff like that.
Wasn't it also, I think it's funny that it comes down to, you got to have your best stuff. On that given day, you got to be ready to go, and you got to go low to be able to qualify, or maybe over those 2 days, whatever it might be, to get into that tournament. And I think that's, it makes it so hard to be able to get to the actual tour is, can stripe it. Everyone, you know, all the guys on the tour, not us, all the guys on the tour can stripe it, hitting
Speak
fairways.
Speak for yourself, okay?
You're hitting greens, you're doing all this. But ultimately, and I'd love to get your thought on this, it really is about, what are you doing with the flat stick? Can you hit putts, or can you not at that point? And can you grind out pars and get up and down?
Yeah, I agree. You got to roll the flat stick. You got to
because the ball striking is very similar.
Yeah,
at that level.
I mean, everyone's tee to green for the most part. Everyone's for the most part long these days. It's just the little things at the end you got
to
be able to do.
Even then, too, as you said, with how difficult it is to qualify. So when you Monday qualified for work day and for the Rocket, what did you shoot? Did you have to go out and shoot a 63 or something to qualify?
Yeah, I shot 4-under at the Rocket Mortgage Monday qualifier, and I thought I was out of it. I was one of the first off, and I told my caddy he could actually leave because I was like, I'll just stick around, but you can go ahead and leave. But he didn't leave. He just stayed with me. And we waited probably like 2 hours, and yeah, they came in. We went to a 4-man playoff.
Wow.
And I was just watching Daniel Berger, how he just was – him and – Kyle Morikawa, like the first PGA Tour event of the restart, they went to a playoff, and I saw Daniel Berger just ripping drives, just like pounding drives, getting ready for the playoff, and I saw Morikawa kind of just relaxing, you know, like hitting wedges, relaxing, and Daniel Berger ended up just destroying him in the playoff.
Mm.
So I was like, I'm going to take the Daniel Berger approach here. I was like, I have nothing to lose. I thought I was out of it already, and it was just pounding drives on the range while these guys, the other three, were just kind of hitting wedges, like kind of getting warmed up, like casually. And I just went out there and birdied the first hole.
What course was that at, the qualifier?
That was Khaki Cousins.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha. Cool. And what did you shoot when you qualified for the work day? That was down in Ohio, right?
Yeah, I shot 62.
You shot a 62 to qualify.
I think we were playing with McCarty that morning, and he texted us about that, if I'm not mistaken.
You know Darren McCarty. Are you playing with him?
Yeah, of course,
That's right. Mm-hmm. A 62 to, I mean, I get, if I shoot, you know, an 82, I'm like, all right, that's a pretty good round.
No,
I can't imagine 20 strokes better.
Imagine being the guy that shot 63, and you're like, oh, I'm in.
I know.
I got it. Nope, 62.
Yeah. No, I literally, I don't know what happened there. I prepared well. I think that I just felt like I had nothing to lose because I already played in the PGA Tour event. I was like, oh, man. So I just went out there and just gave it my best, and it turned out good. So.
Now, let's go backwards before we go forward and hear about what you're going to be, you know, next steps and whatnot. But going backwards for a second, growing up here, Metro Detroit, talk to us about some of the courses you played and just, you know, what it was like growing up here, like all of us have too.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely different growing up. So I grew up basically in Westland, Canton area. I lived in Westland. I started in Canton near Superior Township on Denton Road. And then I moved to Westland for 5 years, and then we moved back to Canton, and that's where we are now. And growing up kind of in, it's not the best for PGA Tour growing up in that around.
You can't play in the winter.
Yeah, you can't play in the winter.
You can practice at your family's driving range, though, right? I know that's
No, that was huge.
You want to shout out that, please?
Yeah, shout out to Mickey's golf range in Westland, Michigan. Go get a bucket.
That's your spot, so, huh?
Yeah, it's my spot. I love it there.
So your family runs that?
Yep.
Is that a family business? That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. That's a very, you know, very well-known, historic, you know, driving range. That's sweet.
Yeah, so, yeah, growing up, I mean, I played hockey, roller hockey at Skateland West. And, yeah, after school, I'd just go to the golf range because there's nothing else to do.
So that's where you grew – so a lot of people, maybe there's a course or something they grew up, and I'm sure you have several courses that you would played most as a kid. But is that kind of how you would describe it? You grew up on the range? You would always just go practice?
Not practice, but, yeah, I mean, okay, yeah.
You don't need to practice when you're that good, right?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't really practice because I was having fun doing it. And, I was just pounding ball. I've probably hit – like over a million balls easily, like probably 10 million balls. But growing up doing that, being in sports and all that, it was really good for me, like just growing up and getting cool into college and stuff like that. So that
would you say you have a home course though outside of the range, or one that you played the most,
like growing up or
yeah,
right now?
Yeah, growing up.
Growing up, I would say, to be honest, I'd have to say Fellows Creek. I grew up basically going out there with my dad. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's right around where we live. And now I play at Washtenaw Country Club. And,
classic course, yep.
Yep, and Eagle Crest.
Eagle Crest is awesome. Yeah. Unbelievable. Out in Ypsilanti, a lot of people don't know about it. It's a great course. So
yeah, it's
tremendous
views. Nice, peaceful view to practice and stuff. But, yeah, right now I'm kind of I'm looking for a place in Florida to kind of start there.
Transitions perfectly. Talk about the next steps for you. Obviously, you know, you're really trying to, and I respect the hell out of it, you know, you're really trying to make a run and get on tour and pursue your dream, and you have the talent to do so, clearly. What's the next step in terms of training, whether it's going down to Florida and really preparing to try to do that? I think a lot of people might not know, actually, in terms of how exactly do you get your tour card? Are you going to take the corn? You try to get on the Corn Ferry route, or you know, just there's so many different ways you can. But talk about that process here moving forward.
Yeah. So right now I'm going to be doing some Monday qualifiers just to see if I can get that opportunity again. But my best chance is going back to the Corn Ferry stages. Like I said, I'm really good at 4 days, 4 day tournaments. I made it through to the finals the first year. If I would have made it in the top 40 in finals, I would have been like one of three in like history to do that. So that would have been really, really cool.
Wow.
But since I didn't, I still have my membership card right now, so I'm going to be playing in Monday qualifiers.
You have your membership card for?
For the Corn Ferry.
So you are on the Corn Ferry too. Okay.
I'm technically on the Corn Ferry, but I don't have any starts yet unless do something. Like if I Monday qualify, that's why I'm doing the Monday qualifier. If I Monday qualify, then I get another start basically on the Corn Ferry. So it's kind of, I got to work my way up. But the best chance would be next year, the Corn Ferry stages again, going to finals, getting in the top 40, and getting those 10 starts that are huge. Because if you get 10 starts on the Corn Ferry, and that's huge. Once I get on the Corn Ferry, once I just get on a tour like the Corn Ferry and get a good schedule, then that's when I think my career will really take off. And
when you're saying Monday qualify, is that for the Corn Ferry, or you're talking about a Monday qualifier for the PGA Tour?
For the Corn Ferry.
So that there's a Monday. Okay.
Oh,
so,
and the PGA Tour.
So if you were to go try to, is there any criteria? Not that I'm thinking about it, but is there any criteria in terms of Monday qualifying for the PGA Tour? Can anyone walk? I thought there was like a pre-qualifier to the Monday qualifier.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. No. I guess
this guy shoots 179 in a tournament out at Meadowbrook, and he thinks he can qualify.
No, incredible. not 179, 879. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. All right. Yeah. So I played in the Meadowbrook Invitational this year, and shout out to Tricovery because they stretched. Yeah. You're a Tricovery guy too, right?
Yep.
So the Tricovery stretched me out, gave me a little massage before the round. I didn't hit balls on the range. I get stretched out, and it's tournament play. I got to putt everything out. There's no gimmies, you know. There's no mulligans. There's no breakfast balls. And I go out there and I just shoot. I shoot this clean 79. Okay. We're in the lead going into Sunday, and then, of course, just collapsed on Sunday. But okay. That was probably one of my proudest moments in golf ever, being in tournament, in tournament play, being able to shoot a 79. So I am thinking about potentially going to a Monday qualifier.
I've heard about it ever since.
For the PGA Tour.
It's unbelievable.
But no. And back, all jokes aside, how do you, is there a pre-qualifier to the Monday qualifier, or how does that even work?
Yeah, so there's a pre-qualifier on Thursdays, on the Thursday before, and this is why it's so difficult.
Do you have to do that?
So I used to, but since I got to finals, I got my Korn Ferry card, so I get to skip that and just go right to the Monday.
Okay.
So that's why I'm
nice.
Doing so many Mondays. And so that's really helpful, because the guys on Thursday, they're taking about half the field. Then they got to wait Friday, Saturday, Sunday in the town that they're at, and it's a lot of money. Hotel, like they have to stay Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday it starts. So it's
So anyone could go do the Thursday qualifier.
Yeah, and
so I could go do that. You and I should for content. You and I
we
should
really
go,
should try to do
should
that.
Go to a Thursday qualifier and
do
see
it, man.
How great would it be like if we were like one under through you know six holes or something?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No, it's actually hilarious. You'll see like some older guys like that'll come out there and they're like ripping stogies and stuff and just and it's like I'm watching like and they're just like bunting it down there. I'm like, why are they in this? But
yeah,
I mean, hey, it's fun. It is fun. It's if you're just going out there having a blast, it's tournament feel. So,
so you mentioned potentially relocating to Florida. Is that something you're looking at? And
well, yeah, actually, it's I'm gonna be going down there and staying with a buddy. Luckily, yeah,
Jupiter area.
Actually, really fortunate. He was a teammate of mine at UCF, and so he's gonna let me move in and probably sleep on a mattress or something for a time being. But just being down there and having that opportunity to go to these courses, because if you have a membership, Korn Ferry membership, you can get some good membership deals. And
good.
Yeah, so that's the next.
We got to have him play around with D. Hall, obviously a Hall Financial down in Florida.
I know Mr. Hall. Yeah.
Do you? Okay, yeah. Cool. He's a great player.
Listen to that.
Mr.
I love it.
Mr. Hall he's a great player.
He is. He's a good competitor. I've played quite a few times with him. So.
Oh, have you? Okay, cool. Yep.
So,
very nice.
So you beat him every time, obviously.
Not every time. He's a good player.
Yeah, he plays left-handed and right-handed.
Maybe now I could maybe beat him every time, but
here's what
I don't know. I don't know.
We need you to go out there and shoot like a 63, okay? and humble D Hall, okay? That's what we want.
All right.
What's the best round you ever shot?
Yeah, 62.
62 to qualify?
Yep.
Wow.
That is incredible.
I've shot a lot of 63s. A lot of 63s, but not
so. What
62.
would like if you went out? For instance, we're here at Red Run. We were gonna play, but the weather unfortunately isn't good. You've never played this course before, right? You play it from the tips right now. It's 7,000. Play around 7,000 yards, right?
Okay.
But the fact that you've never played it before, what score would you be happy with, or you know, where would that line be?
You know, that's hard to tell because you have to know the course and stuff like that, but. What do you think the course rating is?
I think it's 140 from the tips.
I mean, a good round out here. I mean, you can't beat like a 68 or like a.
So
like
if you
66,
shot if
probably 66 would be like my number. Like 66 would be a solid.
If
round,
you were over 70, would you be upset with your round?
No. I mean, I'm never really upset. If I'm over par, I'm upset. But if
that's,
I mean,
kind of the line. Okay.
I'm upset if I made stupid mistakes and I didn't, mm-hmm. Just a dumb
three-putted
mistake.
Three putted or
something. But if I'm hitting the right shots and I'm hitting the right, and I shoot like a two under or like a even, I'm going to be like, you know what? It was just one of those days where you just got to grind it out. I mean, Jack Nicklaus, he said that you only have your best 10% of the time and the other 90% is just. Managing your game.
And that's something. And even when we had Tom Watson on last week, which was awesome, you're following Tom Watson in terms of interview. It's sweet, huh?
Yeah.
But we
I'm a big fan of Tom Watson, so.
He was great. No, and when we had him on, guys like that talking about how the game's changed and even just, you know, the respect level that there is really just awesome. And that's something where, you know, we really are looking forward to watching your career and continuing to see that. We're rooting for you, and we think that you're going to be able to, you know, really, really make a run here. I mean, my God, I can't even can't even imagine what it's like playing on tour a couple times and just knowing that you're this close. You're seeing your name on the same tee sheet as Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth and Bryson DeChambeau. That's something that really just cannot be taken lightly. I mean, that's awesome.
Well, and we'll promise you this, okay? Yes. Make sure you qualify for the Rocket Mortgage Classic next year, okay? And then we are going to get an MDG community, a whole of people out to the tournament, all right? We're going to follow you the entire round,
that.
Okay?
That'd be awesome.
And I do want to say this on a serious note as we're wrapping up as well. You know, I know that you are potentially looking for some sponsors, right? And I know that you are looking for maybe some help with really making this dream of yours come true and going down to Florida and putting that time and money and investment into your career. So for all the MDG community and people that are listening, if whether it's a local business or whether it's people that are looking to sponsor a great kid like you, I think that's something where you can get in touch with us, and we're happy, more than happy, to help any way we can. And I know there's a lot of people on MDG that are the exact same way.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's the main thing, is kind of feeling free out there. And when you're spending, it's around like $50,000 just to travel and to play tournaments and to sign. Really, all I'm looking for is someone to help me just sign up for the tournaments. For every of the tournaments and some of the extra stuff, and then because I'm gonna be making money, it's just a matter of paying the entry fees and doing all that and having a full schedule. Like right now, I have my September is good, my October the first part of it is good, but you gotta have money to keep like the rest of the season and to just sign up early. So that's what I'm looking for.
Well, Donnie, we're excited to follow it. Please let us know. Let the MDG community know where you're playing, what dates you're playing. We can monitor it and follow it on a daily basis.
Which happened.
Awesome.
We had it was funny when it was announced and we were posting about Donnie Trosper is an MDG member. He's playing in the Rocket Mortgage Classic. There were so many screenshots that came in. You were like 20. I think your betting odds were like 25,000 to 1.
Man.
And there were people. I just put $100 on him. I just put $10 on
those
him.
Those services are probably like, what do they know?
Yeah. Sorry to all those guys.
Oh, please.
On me. I was like.
And then you started. You were what, 1 under through 4?
Yeah,
playing with Champ.
Four,
and you're like, all right, I'm making the cut. Let's go.
There was no thought in my mind that I was going to be like missing the cut. It just kind of happened. And after that triple, but
you'll get there, man. You'll get there.
All right. Well, Donnie, look forward to watching it, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate you joining us here. We'll have to have you on again, certainly next year. Rocket Mortgage Classic, if you can qualify one more time.
That'd be great.
Thanks for the time.
Yep. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Metro Detroit Golfers Podcast. Make sure to hit that subscribe button and keep giving Sully and Bogey a hard time.
Powered by our presenting sponsor, Hall Financial, and also Tri-Covering Massage and Flexibility.